Hello, it's Friday morning. This is a good day to be alive in Christ. Thank you for coming by, and thank you for being in your station, watching and guarding and praying and standing and believing and defending. All those things are so important because, as we were talking yesterday and remembering it again today, that when God calls us to a geographical place, we need to be faithful to it. Amen. And sometimes we don't get to make the decision. God sent us there by his purposes and will. Coincidentally, I like that word. It means that it just happened to happen. Yeah, right. There's no coincidences in the Lord. By the way, I'm George Watkins. If you haven't met me yet on this morning broadcast, thanks for stopping by. We are here. We are on the air every morning this time of the day, except Saturday and Sunday. Sunday night, we're on at 6 p.m. on a Sunday night blessing. All right. Well, our subject today, if Satan is defeated, where do bad things come from? Well, we're going to talk about that as we launch into our Friday session together. Of all the questions and comments and complaints that I've heard the most, I suppose, in the counseling and prayer ministry, is why, if God's in control and the devil is defeated, how come good people have bad things happen to them? Well, let's just look at it just for a minute and be reminded that, number one, God is not in control. You and I have been put in control and the dominion and authority of the realm we're in. Now, God's in charge. He's still God. He never leaves that position. He's still in charge. But the authority that has been given to us is our domain, and he has told us to go, according to Genesis 1 and the verse in Mark 16, he has told us to go and dominate and rule and change the course of history, change the course of people's sufferings, bind the devil, kick him out, heal the sick, all those things have to do with you and I changing and speaking and doing. Okay, that's kind of a scatter shotgun shot at the answer. If the devil has been defeated, how can he do bad things? How can he bring bad things? Well, have you heard of the Old Testament verse that says, as long as there is time on earth, there will be seed time and harvest? The principle of seed time and harvest is the dominating ruling force that happens on the earth. If that ended, there would be no babies, there would be no plants, we'd starve to death, nothing would grow. But because the pattern and the principle of seed time and harvest is still functioning, Satan is inside of that system. He lives in that system, and he knows how to use it. Now, Matthew 13 says that angels are harvesters, and they harvest the seed we plant. Now, good angels, bad angels, they both are harvesters. So, when we plant and speak, we are planting seeds. God formed the world through words, and he told us that we should guard our mouth, according to David's Psalms, that we wouldn't sin. And he also told us that we would have whatever we say in Mark, the scripture in Mark, where he said, and you will have what you say. So the power of words are seeds. And the harvest that we plant is harvested by whatever seed the source is from. If it's fear, fear comes back on us. If it's love, love is harvested back. If we are planting seeds of doubt, doubt comes back. So here's the kind of a simple retort or answer or thought on this, so that we can kind of get a hold of why Satan is able to come and harvest problems in our life and give us situations that we didn't think we asked for. For instance, I just don't know what's going to happen today. I know God's in control, but boy, I tell you, I'm just so fearful. Okay, that's a seed that we plant into our future. And that fear seed then begins to grow. The book of Job, and Job the man, said about him that the thing that he feared came upon him. So something in Job's life that began to have a fear seed, where he, according to research, he was the richest man in the region. And yet Satan came in to the courts of heaven and questioned Job's, you know, life, and wanted to test him and so forth. Oh, I'm not going to go into Job today. We'll do that in another broadcast, perhaps. But I want you to understand that you and I plant the seeds for our future. Amen. Now, we've talked about this before, but it's come up again in some discussions and conversation and meditation I've been having, and how powerful this is, and how we plant seeds that the angels harvest. Matthew 13, the angels harvest. Now, good angels, bad angels are out there harvesting. Thing that I feared came upon us. So flip that around. The thing that I had faith for comes upon us. The thing that I've confessed and believed for comes upon us. The things that my mouth created through praise and worship comes upon us. Okay. How can we reverse the curse? How can we change the course of seeds we've planted? Well, I believe that praise and worship are among the greatest antidote for the enemy's curse that tries to come. And I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice blood on the doorpost of our soul and our emotions and our mouth and our existence, like it was in Egypt when they put the blood on the on the doorpost. I believe that that is a resistance and a blockage and a stopping of the enemy trying to bring back a harvest that you may have inadvertently or ignorantly sown in your life in past years. For instance, you come out of a family that has a background of poverty or sickness or strife, and you know, you were just in constant turmoil and there was all kinds of problems, and you come to Christ and you know you're going to heaven, you have the peace of God, except for your mouth that needs to be redeemed, or except for your thought patterns that just go in the same negative, fearful, it's going to go, my father died young, my mother had, you know, disorders, so I guess I'm just inheriting. See, that's seed in the hands of the enemy to bring a harvest back to you of disorder and confusion and brokenness. Now, we've got our spirit born again. We need to have our mouth born again. I love Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, honest, good report, virtuous. Think on these things. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, or the thought process where the heart, you know, is involved, out of the abundance of the center of your conscious and subconscious life, you will speak. So when we think on the Word of God, when we take in the Word of God, when we think on God's promises and God's creative blessings to us, we will begin to speak and sound like the Word of God. My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He has given upon His own back the stripes that produced miracle healing for me. By His stripes, I am healed. You see, that comes out of a understanding that the Word has gone in, and out of my mouth comes that confession. Well, we're all going to die. Oh, my goodness. We're all going to. No, that's not God's word. No. We won't go down that rabbit trail about dying, you know. But we're not going to die of this disaster. We're not going to be taken out by this disaster. Okay. Now, on this Friday, I wanted to leave you with this upbeat, faith-filled, encouraging word, that the word is nigh thee. Romans, the word is nigh thee. 10, 9, and 10. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the words we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, this is not just a salvation scripture. This is a lifestyle scripture. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, what is the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus is the kingdom of God spread out before you in all of its glorious power. And it includes all of the seed planting and the confession and the prayer of faith and the powerful prophecies and all the things that we love so well. It's all wrapped up. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it in your innermost being, I mean the very center of your soul, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be zozoed, saved, healed, made whole. That's the Amplified. So, there you go. Satan takes advantage of our mouth. We prophesy our future. Let's reverse the curse. Let's reverse our confession. Let's say what we want to happen, what we want to see happen. Let's prophesy to our future. Let's speak what David said. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in this day. Amen. I don't know what his circumstances were. He had some tough days. A lot of people tried to kill him, including Saul and all of his tribes and troops. It may have been one of those days when he stood out in the middle of a lot of problems and said, "This day is the day the Lord hath made, and I'm going to rejoice in it." Well, what your day looks like, my early morning lips here trying to speak, what your day looks like depends on what you have been looking at. If you've been looking into the kingdom, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, prayer, intercession, loving one another, speaking God's life, if you've been looking into the Word of God, then your eyes will see through that prism and you will see the future as victorious and hopeful and full of joy. Amen. What you see and what you say is what you get. So bless you today on this glorious Friday morning. It's going to be a supernatural day. It's going to be the best day of my life. Will you join me in that? Glory to God. Love you guys and gals. Thank you for your prayers and your good comments. I love the comments you give back to me. I don't read the bad ones. I don't like to take in that. Okay. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your financial support. Some of you have been very faithful to send us something, and some each month. Thank you for that. If God's nudging you to do that, it puts gas in the tank, and we can go down the road with supernatural power. Amen. Well, Sunday night's coming. We will see you then, and we will look forward to our time together. Until then, may your mouth be blessed and your eyes see through the Word of God in Jesus' name.